He said Dave's going to be speaking on steps 4 and 5. Step 4 is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And step 5 is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So Dave, it's all yours.
Thank you, Dave. Hi, I'm Dave Melcoli. I apologize. Excuse me. I managed to get a cold, and so my voice hopefully will last throughout. If not, somebody else can talk. I don't care. I'm also wearing my coat because I'm a little bit chilled, so I would avoid me at all costs at the end of the meeting. I blame my youngest grandson for this. Typhoid Teddy, I call him. He damn near killed me one time, and this time he's just made my life miserable. So, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So anyway, thank you for all for being here this evening. It's, as I said, it's always an honor and a privilege to speak in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It's nice to know that people are going to be okay with you, whether you say anything good or not. That's always good. It's reassuring to know that you're probably going to clap if I'm really lousy anyway. So, and I'm okay with that. Excuse me. Last week at the conclusion of my presentation or my conversation with you all, Ike walked by and said, "Well, now I know everything," he said. So I'm surprised he's here tonight, in as much as he already knows everything. So thank you, Ike, for showing up with the idea that I might actually say something. And Mary Ann, congratulations. Long time sober. Thank you for being here for all of us. Yep. So, you know, this is an interesting process. I've really and truly have enjoyed doing this, but not on Thursdays. On Fridays, I really enjoy it. Thursdays I spend some time, as much time as I need actually, to get started and to know what I'm going to speak about. Now, most of us in here have gone through the steps a number of times, so it's not like I don't understand the step, but when I go back and I read the big book, or I read the 12 and 12, or even, you know, the steps we took, there's just a whole lot of information in there that I have completely forgotten or put aside, or, well, for that matter, never heard before. I don't know. I've read the words, but I don't know that I heard them. But you know, once we get to this step, it's now we're in the we're past the decision. You know, the three frogs on the log thing I spoke about last week. And we left them sons of guns in the swamp. I hope they stay there for the next guy that comes along and says, "Well, there was three logs on the wrong thing." Anyway, we are here at the jumping off point at step 4. Really, truly, this is when the action really starts in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, let's face it, the first two steps really are gathering information and kind of reflective. It's, where do I fit into this whole thing? And last week, of course, when we talked about the third step, that's really probably the first action that we've taken, but the action really didn't amount to much more than making the decision. But a lot of other things had to be taken into consideration throughout that whole process. So here we are. We're standing on the precipice of making a decision that we've already made, that we're going to move forward and take the action necessary to recover in Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I will tell you that that's a lot of words. I really and truly didn't come to that realization the very first time that I was met up with this step 4 and 5. I told you, I will tell you again, that I read all 12 of them in the rehab and thought they should kick me out at the 12th day, because I had that down pat. So they didn't. They kept me. I know it's all about money. It's all about money. That's why I was there. That's an interesting thing when I think about that, and I'll regress here a little bit. I was in the rehab for 16 days before I could say and really believe that I was an alcoholic. Now, that's how bad my thinking had slid. And that's how difficult it was for me to understand exactly what I was trying to accomplish here. So that the very first time that I come to the fourth step was not something that I was going to accomplish with any kind of comparative completeness. I was going to only be able to scratch the surface. Now, I knew how important, I knew how important it was to get into this action part of it. It says it right in the book, and it says it time and time again, you know, that, you know, anything without action is not doing it at all. So let's face it, you know, I have to be able to move forward with this and make a decision on this. But when you get to that step four, when I got to that step four, and I read what they were supposed to be doing, I really didn't get it. And that's the truth. And I know it's crystal clear. If you read in the big book, they couldn't make it any easier, quite honestly. It's only about three pages, and it has Mrs. Brown in there, or Mr. Brown, which I am not afraid. I don't like that guy. And I don't like the Mrs. either. Those are bad people. When I read that the first time, I thought, he's got a reason not to like these people. They're not good people. And then they said in the next breath, well, you have to forgive them. I'm thinking, what? Jeez. Anyway, I don't like those people. But so we went through, you know, so it's crystal clear. It really truly is. But let's face it, everything in Alcoholics Anonymous seems pretty simple on the surface. And underneath, of course, it's like the duck. You know, you're paddling as fast as you can. And honestly, it just takes time, and that's what it was for me. It took me time to be able to come to a greater understanding about what I was trying to understand. And so, you know, they said, listen, you're at a place where you can start writing your moral inventory. It's also fearless and searching. Thinking, man, that's a lot of stuff if you think about it, really. I mean, I've read that step a gajillion times like you have, and that's a lot of work with that right in there. You know, you had to be fearless, and you had to be searching, and you had to be moral. Which, by the way, 2 out of 3 was as good as I was going to get. I'll let you guess on which one I wasn't going to make, but I struggled with that. I thought, what's a moral inventory? And then, of course, it was explained to me that it's truthful. It's a truthful inventory. And I don't know about you, but I was kind of struggling with that thing. So I went right back to moral, because truthful was not something I was doing real well at the time. The very first four step, and listen, I understood the need to do it, was going to be able to propel me forward into what I knew and saw in other people in recovery. And so I sat down and I did kind of what Bill says in there, in the big book. I had no other direction at the time. So, and by the way, I didn't ask for any. So, you know, I was swinging out there on my own. It's silly, but true. And so I write down, I have a legal pad, and I'm writing page after page of really what a bum I am. I mean, I go through this thing and I think, I don't think there's anything redeeming about me at this point. I don't think that there's salvation that's going to be at the end of this thing. And so I complete it all. And so now I have to have somebody listen to it. Well, I had a sponsor at the time, but I didn't ask him because, well, he was kind of a busybody. I didn't know if he wanted to. He's also here. But I didn't ask him, and I did it with my girlfriend at the time. Turns out that wasn't as good an idea as it sounded like at first. We get all done with that, and she said, well, okay. She went back drinking. I don't know if... I don't think it was my story that sent her on her way, but it couldn't have helped. It couldn't have helped. I didn't know what to do. So the fifth step was done, so there I am. I'm done with the fourth and fifth step. And I said last week, and I said before, in my earliest indoctrination to AA, it was that we did the step once and you moved on. And there was no repeating and going back and forth. Now, I can say with no fear of equivocation that kind of thought process no longer is part of what I come up with. But that's the way it was when I first got here. And I went to meetings and I didn't take a drink. And so the idea of actually preparing myself for action was not something I was any good at. I wasn't. I was pretty good, kinda, at not taking a drink. I didn't take a drink. I was real good at that. Real good. And going to meetings, I was real good at that, but paying attention and actually appreciating them, not so much. But I can tell you with an absolute certainty, within the first 18 months of sobriety, I had completed a fourth and fifth step. And so I felt pretty good about myself. Now, down the road, I discovered that there's a whole lot of tools you can use to actually get to the truth of the matter. So I really couldn't go past and say I did the fourth and fifth step. And let's face it, we'll talk about six and seven next week. I really wasn't prepared for that. And by the way, still struggling with that. But the fourth and fifth are pretty straightforward. And it's a practical step, but it was a lot more than what I anticipated it was going to be. It was something I really wasn't prepared to do because I wouldn't ask anybody. And so that's my fault. I didn't ask, so okay, I'm never going to know. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, this is how I thought. That when I turned 16 years old, I would know how to do auto mechanics. Seemed like everybody 16 years old or older knew how to do that. So I figured they had to be a certain age to suddenly acquire. No, I'm not kidding you. No, let's face it, this is kind of warped thinking and kind of illogical thought process. But that's the kind of guy that I was. And that's why I didn't succeed right away in this program. Because I didn't know enough to ask the questions. I knew enough to ask questions. I refused to ask questions because I might be embarrassed because I didn't know. So, you know, the worst thing that I ever did in my entire life was say, I know that. Man, and that just kept me ignorant, and it kept me from learning. And that, not just in, you know, practical matters in my life, my day-to-day, but in this program, which requires some real thought and some real commitment to be able to do this the right way. And I watched a lot of people do it the right way. And so they got to the fourth and fifth step, and they actually did the writing the way they were supposed to do it. And then they went to the fifth step, and they actually did the expressing it to God and to themselves and another human being the way you're supposed to do it. And all of a sudden, they felt better about themselves. So I go through the fourth and fifth step, and I don't feel any different at all. So I pretended like I did. I did the as if kind of thing. I thought, well, okay. I'm gonna be a guy that does this and not really feel the kind of release that other people have gotten to when they've gotten to the fifth step. And that's part of the deal. You know, I couldn't get there, so I didn't get there. You know, I was reading today, it's interesting, and I don't normally do this, but this is one of the things that's in the fourth step in the big book. And I have it listed as the death sentences. You're probably familiar, I'm going to read this. It's plain that life, which includes deep resentment, leads only to futility and unhappiness. But with an alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, the insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again, and to rest the drink is to die. The death sentences of Alcoholics Anonymous in the fourth step. So there I am. I got to deal with resentments. I got to deal with fears and harms to others. It's really not something that I can educationally or intelligently list out without some help. So I got help. So I've done this probably half a dozen times. Probably should have done it a dozen times, but at least legitimately a half a dozen times I've done this with a sponsor, or I've done it with somebody else who was steeped in AA and how they do it. And so we come to the forms, right? We come to how are we going to do the four step and do it appropriately? Because you got a sponsor that says, and I say it to guys, listen, you got to start writing right away. This is not something we're going to sit on. We can't go to 6 and 7 without doing 4 and 5. It's just not possible. And people want to do that because there's a fear in 4 and 5. And I remember a guy that I knew pretty well down in Titusville years ago, Patrick, who said, I don't know why everybody's afraid of 4 and 5. It's your life. You're only writing down what you did. Nobody, you don't have to make anything up. And then I thought, yeah, that's exactly the point, Patrick. I don't want anybody to read anything about my life. And you know, it was scary and embarrassing and sometimes humiliating. And you know what? That's part of the process. That's part of the deal. Humility is supposed to be built out of these steps. Excuse me, out of these steps. And truthfully, this is really one of the beginning steps to that. It goes back to the first step, but as we roll forward, the importance of powerlessness and humility become paramount to whether or not I'm going to run a good program or not. I really can't say how other people do it. I know that we all search for the same answer. How am I going to do this, and how am I going to do it right? So I got help. And I will tell you that the times that I've done this, I've done it on at least 4 different forms. They either had 4 columns or they had 5 columns. And of course they did it with 3 columns with Bill. Right? They have 3 columns in the big book. I personally, when I go through this now with guys, I try to go through the big book first. Honestly, I think that, first of all, it is our primary educational tool. It tells us exactly what we're supposed to do. And although some of it's dated, that's what the 12 and 12 is for. And so you can pick up that book and read it too and know that the things have changed. And obviously your own life experience with this is how you conclude that with people you sponsor. At least that's how I've discovered how to do it. I use the forms. I use a form that, I think Eric Lau gave it to me. It's a good form. It's got 4 columns. It spells it out really good, and I'm really happy to use it. It doesn't confuse people. I used one form that was so convoluted, and when you got done, there was check marks all over the place. And I looked at it, and I'm doing a fifth step with a guy, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Do you or do you not have this exact problem? Oh, I don't know. I can't figure it out either. So I quit using that one. I have it if you're willing to risk the idea of not knowing what to do, and I'll gladly give it to you. But the one that Eric sent on to me, which I think he's used for a number of years and I have now, was straightforward. And I thought, okay, this is what step 4 is about. To sit down and be honest, moral. And I need to be searching, and I need to reach out into the place where I didn't want to be to begin with, because it's kind of a void, and I need to dredge up these things that are keeping me and are blocking me from the God of my understanding, because that's really what this 4 step's about, right? The 4th step is saying you're being blocked from the sunlight of God, and however you understand your God, and if I can move past that, then I might actually enjoy a life of relative peace and happiness, but I have to be able to get rid of those things that are keeping me from it. I need to be able to write them down. I have to be truthful and searching and moral and all those other things that I didn't understand at the beginning. I now get, and I know that I can do that. So when I finally did it right, guess what? When I did the 5th step, I have this feeling that it says in the big book that it transports you to a different place, that makes you feel like for the first time you might in fact have hit on the right thing for ourselves. Now I'm paraphrasing obviously, but that's basically what the big book is saying. Do this and you can then, after doing the 5th step, You can join us on the broad highway, as it were, and that's the way that's how he describes it in the big book, on the broad highway, all inclusive, never exclusive. You know, we're allowed to join and be human beings there, and we don't have to take all the luggage that we've been carrying around for all these years, you know, all the mistakes, all the harms to others that obviously we're going to work through 8 and 9 too. We're going to do that. And then I will tell you, and jumping ahead just a little bit, there are, of course, things that you are going to carry with you, and that's too bad. That's the way it goes. You're going to have to be okay with the fact that you cannot ruin another person's life because you want to feel better. And so that's the fourth step is my life. I'm now there, and now I need to go to the fifth step. I need to unblock myself. I need to be honest. I need to start really actively engaging myself in what I know to be recovery. Because at this point, it's still kind of less than clear picture. It's a little fuzzy still in what I'm supposed to be able to get to. So when I get to the fifth step, I didn't worry about this much, frankly. I know that there are people who, in the book says, you know, search out somebody that you trust. You know, and Bill suggests a priest or minister or rabbi. I didn't know any of those guys. Trusted whatever. And it goes on in a list of things. And finally it says your sponsor. Although it doesn't say in the big book because there's no sponsors at the time. But that's what I'm going to do, right? And that's pretty much what I do with guys. I don't insist that they do a fifth step with me. I make myself available for that. If they want to do it with me, good. If you don't, good. Just please do it. Just please get there and do it. So I was anxious, quite honestly, to get to the fifth step because I wanted to get to this feeling of peace. Even if it was short-lived, I wanted to make sure that I could get there. It also told me I was doing the right thing. You know, because I didn't know at that point whether I was actually doing the right thing. And so I went through the fifth step. And so the fifth step, let's face it, that's the exact nature of our wrongs, right? You know, I do fifth steps with guys and we go through fears and resentments and harms to others and sexual harms because somehow that gets separated out. But that's okay because they don't ever want to talk about that, trust me. What do you mean? I didn't do anything. Yeah, you probably did. So let's face it, the exact harms with what we're trying to get to is selfishness, self-centeredness. There's two others, and honestly, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but thank you. But nevertheless, these are the things that we need to be able to come to grips with. That's the exact nature. The exact nature is what we're trying to get rid of, right? Because instinctually, and it says it in there, we're going to have these things anyway. Whether we like them or not, instincts are born into us. They're not something that we acquire later. It's part of who we are. We build on those instincts poorly sometimes, but they are still something we're going to have. It's like, you know, AA is all about ego deflation, but remember, you still need an ego. You have to be able to survive. You have to be able to make decisions that are in your best interest. It doesn't mean that you get all the good pudding and somebody else gets all the bad pudding. That's the ego you're trying to get rid of. I don't know why pudding came up, but anyway. I know what I like pudding. And if you eat my chocolate pudding, I'm going to have a problem with it. I really am. So for whatever it's worth, don't stay away from my pudding, and I will not make a mess of your life at all. Just stay away. I want the peace that comes with step five. I want the serenity that comes with step five. I want the connectedness that comes with step five. And the only way that I do that is what they have told me to do, which is to be honest, be fearless, be searching, make sure that you get everything written down, make sure you pass over it with a fine tooth comb. That's not what they say, but that's what they mean. Make sure that you're not, you know, fabricating things, or worse yet, justifying things. Make sure that you don't rationalize your behaviors, because you really, really, really are only being honest to one person earthly bound person in the God of your understanding. Now the argument you hear people say, well, you know, I have a God of my understanding, he obviously knows what I'm doing. Yep, he sure does. But we're going to make sure that you own what it is that you're doing. And listen, I don't know about you, but when I talked out loud about my shortcomings and I was honest about it, yes, there was relief in it, but quite honestly, I felt a little vulnerable at that point too. But I trusted the people that were listening to it over the years. I trusted that they wouldn't use this in a way that would hurt or somehow subject me to ridicule. I had to go ahead and believe that was the case. And it was the case. Because this is AA. Because this is about love here. This is about taking care of each other. This is about saying, man, when you get to that fourth step, start writing now. Get it done. Because guess what? You're going to do it again. And get to that fifth step so you can have the feeling of God being in your presence. You're going to get that God consciousness for the very first time, maybe. Get it done, do it the right way, and get there. And I thought, this is the way to go. This is what AA is to me. I know that I've got a lot to learn, and I will continue to try. But I get it now. The idea is that if I follow each one of these steps in order, I'm going to lead a much better life in spite of myself. And I do. I do. My life is full of honestly, full of love, full of forgiveness, full of all the things that we want to have in our life is full. But only because I got here, and only because I did that fifth step. You know, people say, well, you know, I want to cheat on the fifth step a little bit. They don't say this out loud, of course. But they don't say, and of course, you know what? It comes back to us. It manifests itself in behaviors. It manifests itself in the worst kind of behavior, which is drunken behavior. And you know what they say? Everybody in here knows this story, and is that if you want, all the misery can be refunded to you. It's, you know, it's easy enough. So whatever it's worth, I don't want any of that misery back. I've had it. It wasn't as much fun as it looked like it was from the outside. And so for now, I'm going to live that kind of life. I'm going to continue to do what I think is best. I will do a fourth and fifth step again. If I get to go through the steps with somebody, it's a real privilege. Those of you who do it regularly know that it's a real privilege to go through the book with somebody. It really is, to watch people light up, to see recognition of a spiritual life come upon them. I mean, it's unbelievably fulfilling. And so I want to live that life. I want to be able to see the light come on in people's eyes. And the only way I know how to do that is to keep showing up. And to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. Whatever's asking me, I try to do. Within reason, of course. In AA, I've not found a reason not, you know, to routinely say no. I just haven't. I keep myself busy in retirement with AA. I'm so deeply grateful for this fourth and fifth step because it gave me the first boost I needed to get to where I am today. So thank you for being here this evening. I hope that my voice didn't scare anybody off, but I wouldn't run up here and hug me if I was you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. So now we have time for questions. If there's anybody that has a question for Dave, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll get you the microphone.
Hi. Thanks, Dave. Sounds like it's not easy for you to be speaking at all. But here's my question. I'm Leslie, alcoholic anyway. Part of a fourth and fifth step for me was some learning and some self-discovery. And I was wondering if by working through step four and five, you know, did it reveal any patterns of behavior, any patterns of reacting to things that kind of, I know for me, it revealed that stuff, and it's like, I always get in trouble because of blah, blah, blah. I always take the bait of blah, blah, blah. And I was wondering if that was something that was part of your process of writing and part of your process of talking it through with a here, not your girlfriend.
No, my girlfriend. That was a bad idea. Especially after she went back out drinking. Yes, Leslie, the easy answer is yes, all of that is true. We know that recovery is a process. It has a beginning date, but it really and truly doesn't have an ending date in it. And as I started to figure things out, as people helped me out, because I couldn't do it by myself, I become more complete in writing out what it was. That's why it was necessary to do more than one or two or three, all the way up to six. Honestly, I'll have to do it again at some point. But I do that for pleasure. At this point, I do that because I know that I'm going to learn more about myself, about my reactions, especially early on. I mean, come on, man. I had illogical thought processes. Most of what I put out there as appropriate answers were way off the mark. And that's when you find out how kind people are, because they don't tell you. They just say, it's just him, not me. So thank you for the question.
Shana, alcoholic.
Hi, Shana.
Thanks, Dave, this was good. I'm actually in early recovery. I'm on my fourth step now, which the last time when I was in recovery, I just kind of avoided that altogether. But my question is this. So, I really am just in such a, I feel very content that I'm getting some serenity in my recovery now. And early recovery is just waves, right? You can have a couple good days and you feel like you got this, and then you have a rough day and you're holding on to your higher power, just using every coping tool you know. And my issue with the four step is that because it requires me to go into that part of me that's very shameful and guilt-ridden. Mm-hmm. How to balance that with being able to stay afloat and in the point, for the first time in my life, I'm actually able to stop, redirect myself, become aware of my negative thought process pattern and change it. And so my fear going in and when I start to write and everything is that negative thought process and where that brings me to and how I can do the four step, because I know I can't just sit there for 3 hours and do it, because I will come out in a place I don't want. I was mm-hmm. just in hell. I don't want to go back there. But if you have any suggestions on how to do it and keep it balanced so you can still keep what you have with the recovery that you're doing and not, go backwards, but be able to move forward in your step.
Well, actually, I would say that you're doing it right now. That's an excellent question.
I'm like, oh, I am.
It really is, and you already are putting God in the equation. You're already saying, listen, I know this is going to be hard for me, and I need balance, and I don't know exactly. And here's the thing, if you're going to go into that void, which we all have to find those things, don't stay there. You can come back out and go back. What I would say to you is that I'm making it sound maybe darker than it really is, but I don't know that. I don't know what your life was.
It's dark.
So
trust me.
I would say, first of all, be fearless. It tells us to be fearless. It tells us to be truthful and moral, and searching. So you do the best that you can is really what that amounts to, and be prepared to not have it complete. Don't punish yourself for not having written everything down, because you're one, you're not going to remember, or two, it's not something you're ready to reveal. You're going to have to, though. Rest assured, once you get here, you have to do it. It's really, if you skip the fourth and fifth step, lots of people go back drinking because of that, because they don't get honest with themselves. But I understand your trepidation about reliving, the seedier part of your life or the sketchier part of your life. I get it. We all do. You're not alone. There's a whole room full of people that had some sketchy things in their background. Yeah, exactly. Arms are going up all over the place. So you're not alone. I presume you have a sponsor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, wonderful one.
Well, then that's you've done everything right. You're doing the right thing. I'm waiting come and see me after you've done the fifth step, because I want to see where you're at then, because I think you'll find this is just the most relieving thing on earth.
All excited for that. Will be. Thank you very much.
But thank you for the question.
Hi, Gretchen Alcoholic.
Hi, Gretchen.
So one of the things that I was taught that helped me, which I didn't understand when I first read it in the big book, was with the columns, what I was taught is to work down each column individually as opposed to going straight across. And I think that helped me with that anxiety. Is that how you do it with
Absolutely.
The people that you work with?
Absolutely. We don't do more. You do one column at a time.
Okay.
I've never had anybody tell me that the going all the way across is the right way to do
right.
it.
So my next question is, because another suggestion that was made to me that I find helps is, and you've already said it, it's nothing that's to be completed at one time. Do you find that sometimes it may be helpful for people to just get started and maybe write down three, do the fifth step, and then go back and just keep working through
that? Is always my suggestion. Do the best that you can, because let's just face it, there probably is nobody in this room who was entirely honest the very first time or remembered everything the very first time, because that really is the struggle, remembering some of the sketchier moments of our life. And the fact is, we wanted to forget some of those. The worst thing about it is somebody reminding you. I have a class reunion this year. It's 50 years of high school gone, and I'm afraid to go to the damn thing. I mean, I was a full-scale drunk by the time I was 17 years old, and I'm not sure what people are going to remind me of what I did. So I might be doing a fourth and fifth step after that. And the truth is, the last one that I did was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. I don't really remember. And I had three amends to make out of that too. Two of them were 50 plus years old. They weren't when I was drinking. They were prior to that. It was stuff I was continuing to carry forward. And I'll tell you what, the one of them I haven't been able to do because it's wherever possible, right? I thought if I searched this person out and said what I was going to say, I might be reminding them of a time in their life they don't want to be reminded of, because it was 50 plus years ago. And if God thinks it's appropriate for me to do that, I'll do that. And the one that I was able to do was with my younger brother, which was the most satisfying thing, the amend that I ever made. It finally occurred to me that he's about 18 months younger than me, and he's got some limited capacities cognitively, and I was not nice to him. I wasn't. I was mean, I was bullying, and I was a kid, but it didn't matter. I knew better. And so... I had an opportunity to beg his forgiveness for that, and he hadn't forgot. Mm-hmm. He hadn't forgot, but because of his kindness, he was willing to do that. And I loved him even much that for that. That's what this program's for. Mending that bridge. I can't. There's no price to that. There's, I don't know, a lot. Yes, ma'am.
I'm back. Leslie Alcoholic. And
I'm
this is only because I forget things that I wanted to ask you initially, kind of just to complete my first question. One of the columns that sometimes gets used and is what was my part in it, especially with the resentment list. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about whether you use that, whether that's proved useful to you and to people that you've sponsored to help figure out what their patterns were and how to stop stepping in that same hole every time you walk down the road.
Exactly right. And it is one of the columns, and it is one of the things that we can't do anything about. But yes, I agree with you, Leslie. I don't know that I put it that way, but trying to kind of construct the patterns, it takes a really hard look at what my part in this whole thing was. I mean, I don't know about you, but early on in recovery, it had to be somebody else's fault. How could this be my fault? I mean, that's just the way it is. It's somebody else's fault. I mean, I mean, it was my mother's, but I mean, come on. I mean, you know. But for whatever it's worth, I mean, that was really something I use frequently, and we go through it. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi, Melissa, alcoholic.
Hi, Melissa.
The question I had was, it occurred to me while you were talking about it. Some people say that when you're doing your fourth step, don't forget the redeeming qualities.
Yes.
Where does that fall? Like, is that in the same column? Like, okay, I did this bad, but I'm really good at this, and I'm really good at this. Like, where does that fit in?
I got to be honest with you. I don't think much about the redeeming qualities. I don't. I don't want to punish anybody, but I don't sit around and try to balance these things out. I'm working at trying to rid myself of some significant problems that I had. The redemption comes after that. Yes, did I do everything bad? Of course not. Was it pretty sketchy? You betcha. Even the good things were pretty sketchy. But I know that people get lost in the idea that we shouldn't be, that we should not cast a negative pall over this whole thing, and everybody should be lifted up in some reason. And that's fine. And if that's what you and your sponsor do, that's great. It's not something that I do, honestly, because this is a positive process no matter what. And so when I'm sitting in a room and we're talking about this, there's no doom and gloom. We're smiling and laughing and having a good time. Until somebody needs to cry, and then they cry. But honestly, the redemption's at the end of the process. When you can do that fifth step and do it right and swing right into the sixth and seventh step, man, we're home free, kinda.
Anyone on Zoom? Don't want to ignore everybody on Zoom.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Deirdre.
Hey.
Go ahead, Deirdre.
Hey, I'm Deirdre and I'm an alcoholic. Sorry, I thought I heard somebody speaking. So this has always confused me, but, and I did hear you just mentioned how you were, you made amends to your brother.
Yes.
And I would imagine that's when you were younger. So my question is, how far back in your life do you go? Because I know for me, for example, my alcoholism didn't start until probably my 30s, maybe 20s, I don't know. But I certainly have a lot of harms and wrongs I did prior to my career. So how far back do you suggest that we go with this?
You ready for this? All the way. All the way back. All the way. You can't cut it off. Yeah, I didn't start drinking until I was 28. No, all the way back. The amend that I gave to my brother, I'm 68, it's 63 years old. I mean, before that I don't remember. I honestly don't. But there's probably other things out there, and when I do this again, it'll probably come up. Then that's why I'm doing that. Deirdre, just keep writing. Get all the way back there.
Start writing.
Yeah, just start writing. Did you hear that, Deirdre? I hope you did. Thank you for the question. That was Gretchen telling you to start writing. So she disguised her voice, but not well. Thank you, Deirdre.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
I love you. So one of the things that I have experienced with some people where they get stuck in this,
mm-hmm.
because we typically start with the resentments.
Yes.
And for some people, their resentment is towards God.
Yes.
And yes. They get stuck.
Yes.
How do you help people get past that?
Well, listen, this is all an individual effort. I like to think that in the process of going through the first three steps, we have come to believe in a power greater than ourselves, and that is a God of love and understanding, not one of punishment. Yeah, people lose people in their life, they lose things in their life, and they're deeply resentful against the God that they think should have taken care of them. I don't know that I've ever really satisfied myself in that I've done that the right way. I just keep going back to the whole idea is that, listen, sometime there's going to be in your life when there's nothing between you and that next drink, and that's got to be the God of your understanding. And listen, I know that people are angry and frustrated, but you're wasting your time doing that. It's the powerlessness part of this program. You've got to sit down in that and be okay with the idea that, you know, there is a God and it's not you. And that's what I say, you know. And hopefully people get a hold of that.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Any other questions?
Kevin always asks, well, what does God want from me? And it's to be happy and have joyous experiences. So in your opinion, oh, Merrick, I'm an alcoholic. In your opinion, what does God want for you?
He wants me to be the boss of of Kevin.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
It's the only thing.
Amen.
Yeah. He says it every night. Get him. Get him. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.